Let's open our Bible to Matthew chapter 27. The topic for today is crucifixion of Jesus Christ. We learned that Judas Iscariot had betrayed our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus was arrested by the high priest and his people, and he was tried. But we know that high priest did not have the authority to put Jesus to death. The authority was rested on the Roman governor. So they sent our Lord Jesus Christ to Pontius Pilate. He was the governor then. And he was sentenced to be crucified. And today we will look at what events have happened from the day Jesus was sentenced to be crucified. Verse 27, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a wreath in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit upon him, and took the wreath, and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, Golgotha, that is to say, a place of skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, and it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." The account describing the moment Jesus was sentenced to the moment he gave up his spirit was recorded for us in the gospel written by the four writers. And from the different account of the four writers, we can see different aspect a thing happened during this period of time. But one key thing we see is this word, scriptures must be fulfilled. Scriptures must be fulfilled. Today I'm going to share with you 4 points from this portion of scriptures. First point, we're looking at the accounts of the events that happened during this time. Jesus was betrayed by Judas Iscariot, and he was arrested by the chief priest. It recorded for us in Matthew 26, verse 47. That the high priest and his team of people went to Garden of Gethsemane to arrest Jesus. And Jesus said, "I will daily with you in the temple teaching, and ye took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled." And it was recorded for us in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7, that Jesus will be handed over to the transgressor. And after the high priest tried Jesus Christ and could not find him guilty, and Judas Iscariot was with him, and he was very regretful. He knew he had betrayed his master, and he went to the high priest and threw back the 30 pieces of silver the high priest had given to him for his effort to betray Jesus Christ. But these 30 pieces of silver could not be kept in the temple because it was a price, it was a blood price for Jesus' life. And according to the Old Testament, in Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12, that these 30 pieces of silver will be used to buy the potter's field, and they call it field of blood. And it materializes the prophecies of the Old Testament. And this field of blood will be used to bury all the strangers that died in Jerusalem. And later Jesus was sent to the Pontius Pilate, and he was sanctified, he was sentenced to death. Matthew chapter 27, 26. Then Pontius Pilate released Barnabas unto the Jews. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And Jesus had prophesied himself to be crucified. In John chapter 18, verse 32, he said, that the saying of Jesus must be fulfilled, which he said, signifying the death he should die. Jesus told Nicodemus that, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus prophesied himself to die on the cross, as Moses lifted up the brazen serpent on the tree. And Jesus was mocked by the soldiers. From verse 29, verse 27, Matthew chapter 26 to verse 35. We read just now that he was mocked by the soldiers. And this was prophesied in Psalm 69, verse 19, and Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3. And the Bible also prophesies that when he was on the cross, his raiment will be cut into pieces, and the soldiers will cast the lots for his garments. And we read from Matthew 20, chapter 27, verse 35. Then they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots. And the command of Matthew is this, that he might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. At the end of this portion, before Jesus gave up his spirit, and Bible recorded for us that he was crucified with two thieves. Verse 38, then was there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. The crucifixion of Jesus with the two thieves was not by accident. It was recorded, prophesying by Isaiah in chapter 53, verse 12, that Jesus will be crucified. And Mark had recorded for us, said that in Mark 15, verse 28. And the scriptures were fulfilled, which said, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Brethren, all this account have recorded for us in detail, and they have fulfilled the prophecy of old. What can we learn from here? There are two lessons we can learn from here. First, the scriptures, the word of God, is true. What God said, he will materialize it. So this word we have is true. It's God's word. It proves to us that the faithfulness of God and what he said, what he prophesied, will come into material. And if we read the words carefully, we can learn that all the prophecies in this book have materialized, have been fulfilled, except the last one, that is the return of Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible has told us, and all the prophecy, so in the thing of past, now, have fulfilled. So what he said is going to happen and will come. Jesus told us that before his return, they will have earthquake, pestilence, famine. And now we are experiencing. You can see that more and more earthquakes are happening now. Pestilence. Since the SARS we had in 2003, thereafter we had H1N1 and MERS. And now, COVID-19. And you can see that the effect of each pestilence has become worse and worse. This signifies the return of our Lord Jesus Christ is indeed imminent. And the Bible also tells us, once Jesus has returned, the day we face judgment will come. Whether you believe or not believe, all of us have to face the judgment of our God. Those who have died will be resurrected. Those who have not died, all together will come before this judgment seat of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if our sins are not forgiven, our names are not written on the life of book, we will be sentenced and be thrown into the lake of fire. And Bible tells us this is the second death. That we will be separated from God our Creator forever and forever. And we call it eternal death. And we will continue to suffer in this lake of fire. They want to die, you can't die. You want to live, you can't live. It's this agony state that we're going to live forever. But for those who know their sin, who have confessed their sin and accept our Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, our name will be written on the book of life. And we will not be sent to the lake of fire. And the moment we breathe our last breath, we will be in heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, we can see the account of our Lord Jesus Christ in the last phase of life. We can see the Bible is true. So let us take this very seriously. And Jesus has warned us, His return is imminent. For those who are outside hearing this message, I urge you to consider. Consider your life. How have you lived your lives? How many sins you have committed? Every one of us is sinful. We need our Lord Jesus Christ. I urge you today, come and believe our Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. And for us, who have been so privileged, we have been saved by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are number of days because Jesus' return is imminent. And when Jesus comes, the day we can serve Him is ended. So let us serve Him fervently while there is time. And second lesson we can learn from here is the account of our Lord Jesus Christ, from Him being betrayed to the time He gave up His life, and even on His resurrection, was clearly accounted for. And we can see it was prophesied. And all being prophesied had come in truth, in fullness. Not only His death, His birth too. How He had been, His conception, how He come to this world, how He grew, and the work He was to do on this earth, also being prophesied. Why did God take so much effort to record all this for us? And this only for Jesus Christ. There are many kings, many godly people who died, but God did not describe for us exactly the detail or the process before they died. But only our Lord Jesus Christ. How He came to this world, His work, and His death and resurrection. Because God wants us to know who is Jesus the Christ. Jesus means Savior. There are many people call themselves Jesus. But in this world, there's only one, Christ. Christ means the Anointed One. There's the only one who can save you and me. And he must be anointed by God. He's appointed by God. So He must be Jesus the Christ. So you can see that God has made sure you and me know this person, His begotten Son, who came to this world to die on the cross for you and me. Through His death, our sins are forgiven. And He died on the third day. And died and buried on the third day. He resurrected. He conquered the enemy of death. And through His resurrection, we have hope of eternal life. Through His resurrection, we are justified. And brethren, this is our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus the Christ. There are many people in this world calling themselves Jesus. And Jesus is one of us. There are many false Jesus. So whenever people come and talk to you about He Himself as Jesus, check with the Bible. Check His genealogy. Check His work. And make sure you believe in the Savior that God has sent us, Jesus Christ. So the first point we learn that indeed our God is sovereign, is truthful God. His evidence described in the Bible is powerful, is accurate, and the Bible is His divine inspiration, is worthy for you and me to know, to study. So let us spend time to study God's Word. Now, this was lead us to second point. The second point is, we see that Jesus was arrested by the high priest. And why did the high priest want to crucify Jesus Christ? Did they not know that Jesus was Son of God? Was the Bible not so easy to understand? Mind you, the high priest and the elders, they are scholars of the Old Testament. They know the word very, very well. But is anything happened, or why would things happen that they cannot recognize Jesus the Christ? Let's look at the Bible. The Bible records for us, the common Jews, many of them, they knew Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus was the Christ. In Matthew chapter 8, 28, verse 28 to 29, when Jesus came to the country of Gergesenes, he met one man who was possessed by the legion of devil. And this legion of devil saw Jesus approaching them. They knew now and asked Jesus not to torture them, but send them to the flock of swine. They called Jesus, "You are the Son of God. You are the Son of God." Then later Jesus walked on the water. Remember about Peter? Peter saw Jesus walk on the water and asked Jesus, "Could I come to you?" And Jesus allowed Peter to walk on the water to him. But because of lack of faith, after walking for 2 steps, Peter sank in the water. And Jesus saved him. And when they come to the boats, those people on the boats worship him, call him the Son of God. And at the Transfiguration, Matthew chapter 17, 5, Jesus' disciple saw the Transfiguration of Jesus. So Jesus asked them, "Do you know who am I?" The disciple said, "You are the Son of God." And John the Baptist, he was baptizing the people at the river. When Jesus walked toward him before he began his ministry, John the Baptist pointed him to the multitude. "He is the Lamb of God, the Son of God." In John chapter 9, verse 35, the man was blind by birth, he asked Jesus to save him, to open his eyes. And once his eyes opened, he worshipped him. "Thou art Son of God." And Martha also recognized him. So brethren, these are the record of in the Bible, and these are the common people. By the work of Jesus, they knew Jesus is the Son of God. Even some of the Pharisees, Nicodemus, he saw the work of our Lord Jesus Christ and recorded for us in John chapter 3, verse 2, it said that sin, who is this sin? A man of Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him." Nicodemus was a Pharisee, was a ruler, But he was not a part of the high priest and his team. He knew the scriptures. He saw the work of Jesus Christ. He knew that man is not an ordinary man. At the time, he did not know Jesus was the Son of God, but he knew he came from God. That's why at night, he went to find Jesus and ask Jesus. And Jesus shared with him and teach him. And Jesus declared this famous verse, whether Christian or no Christian will know. He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And through that conversation, Nicodemus learned Jesus was a Christ to him, and he believed in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our God has shown us the evidence. Jesus Christ is the Christ, our Savior. The commoners knew. Those who read his word knew. But why did the Pharisee, the high priest, the chief priest, and the elders did not accept Jesus as the Son of God, as the Savior? In fact, Jesus in many occasions told them. And he recorded for us in John chapter 10, 38, Jesus told the Pharisees, the high priest, this: "But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that Father is in me and I in him. So you might not recognize me, but look at my work." Just like Nicodemus, he did not recognize Jesus as Son, but he recognized his work, and that led him to find Jesus. And his meeting with Jesus led him to eternal salvation. But why did the high priest refuse to recognize Jesus as Son? And this was prophesied for us in Isaiah 53. Because Jesus' main ministry was in Galilee. So then, people say, "For out of Galilee ariseth not prophet." And Jesus was the son of carpenters. And for the high priest, they cannot accept Jesus, who came from the low end of the society, to declare himself as Son of God. So the accusation, the charge against Jesus was he called himself as Son of God, and that is blasphemy. That was the reason Pharisees, the high priest, charged Jesus, wanted to put him to death. But was that the true reason that the Pharisee wanted to put Jesus, because Jesus declared himself as Son of God? Let's come back to Matthew. And this was declared by the heathen, not the Jews. It was declared by Pontius Pilate himself. Matthew chapter 27, verse 18. This is what is written for us in the Bible. "For he knew who was he. He was a Pilate, the governor. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him." It was the envy of the high priest and the elders. They want to persecute Jesus Christ. Why? Because they knew that Many people was following Jesus Christ. Jesus had performed many miracles. He had saved many people. So the people followed him. And the high priest, they're concerned. That if they recognize Jesus as Son of God, all the Jews, all the people, the multitude would follow Jesus Christ and will not recognize them as their leaders. And that is serious to them because they will lose their power over the Jews. And through the power, through a status, they enrich themselves. So if the multitude over turn against them and follow Jesus Christ, they will lose all this they have. That's why Bible recorded for us. Even the governor, Pontius Pilate, knew. Because after conducting a trial, he knew Jesus was sinless. And he knew the high priest and the elders, they knew what they have in their mind. They want to persecute Jesus for their own benefit. But you see, our God having merciful, our God, even at this time, he's still merciful to the high priest and the elders. Why do I say that? Remember when Jesus was arrested by the high priest? The high priest and the elders could not find any evidence to support their claim. They went to the extent to find false evidence to put Jesus on charge. And Judas Iscariot, after seeing Jesus had been tried by the high priest and the elders, and he realized Jesus was indeed innocent, and he went back to the high priest and gave back the 30 pieces of silver because he had betrayed his master, and his master committed no sin, and he was innocent. And the money was thrown in front of the high priest and elders. And that is another power evidence to the high priest and elders. Jesus Christ was sinless, was just. And Pontius Pilate tried him 3 times. And every time he said, "This is a just man. I find no fault in him." And before he sent him away to be persecuted, he even washed his hands. He said, "I'm innocent of this." So if he 3 times Pilate declared his judgment, and if the environment was so noisy, the high priest and elders could not hear it, but the act of his washing his hand was done in front of all men, they should be able to see. So we can see the merciful of our God, the love of our God, even at this last moment. He using Judas Iscariot, using the Roman governor to show forth to the high priest and the elders, the men you are persecuting now is a just man. What lesson can we learn from here? Why did high priest and the elders want to kill Jesus Christ? Was it because of his sin? The people testified that he was just man, he was Son of God. Even the heathen, the enemy of God, Pilate declared Jesus
was innocent. He was just. But high priest and the elders instigated the multitude to push for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ because of their greed, because of their jealousy of Jesus Christ. The high priest and elders, they worried they will lose their power over the Jews. So they want Jesus to die. Brethren, the greed, hunger of power, a thing the world are pursuing, will blind our eyes and harden our hearts. And once our eyes are blind, blinded by all these worldly things, we are not able to hear the still small voice in our heart. We are not able to hear the calling of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told us, lay not up yourself treasures up on earth, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your treasure? Your treasure is on earth. We will find all means to accumulate our treasure on earth. And all of us know that the treasures we accumulate on earth will not follow us. The day we breathe our last breath, all we have accumulated on earth will be separated from us. So Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Let us turn our focus on our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us seek him first. He has given us different people, different gifts. He has kept us on this earth. And for us, we have not contracted COVID-19. It's a blessing of God that he wants us to continue to testify for him. Even for those who have committed the virus, trust in the Lord. While you water in the hospital, use that moment to share the gospel with the nurses and doctors, with the people around you. That is a good opportunity. That's the reason why God put you and me in our respective place. Because the number of days we can do that is none. So use the situation you are in to advance our God's kingdom. And that is what he wants us to do. And let us also understand our God's word in his plain sense. You see, the work of our Lord Jesus Christ showed to the people that Jesus is the Christ. The commoner knew it because they did not have the ulterior motive. From the work, they knew Jesus is the Christ. But why the high priest and the elders could not recognize that? Because they have their own agenda. They concern. They worry they lose their power. So they use their excuses. That Jesus, you are the son of carpenters. You from Galilee. There isn't any prophet from Galilee. How could you, as the so lowly son of carpenter, be the son of God? Jesus told them, you don't believe in me. It's okay. But look at the work I do. And from the work I do, you know I come from God. But because
The high priests and the elders have their own agenda, and the greed they have in their heart rather than us. So brethren, let God's word speak to you and me. Let us not to interpret God's word to suit our desire. God's word is plain. Let us understand His word according to His plain sense. And then we will not fall into a sin as the high priest and elders have committed. Now we look at the point. The point, chapter Matthew 27, verse 32. And as they came out, so now Jesus was supposed to go out of a city to the hill called Calvary. That is a place where execute the sentence. He will be nailed onto the cross and be crucified there. So now the procession will start to get out from the hall to walk out to Calvary outside the city. So as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, him they compelled to bear his cross. Out of nowhere, Simon, a Cyrenian, was mentioned in the Bible. We don't know much about him, a few verses in the Bible. Who was this Simon, a Cyrenian? Where is this place? He came from Cyrene. Cyrene is a city in Libya, northern Africa. And he came to Jerusalem. Bible didn't tell us the purpose of coming. So he was not a resident in Jerusalem. He came from North Africa. So he came into the city. He was not there to participate in the trial of Jesus Christ. He was a passing by. But we know that from Acts chapter 13, verse 1, we know that he was a man from Africa. Because the Bible is saying, tell us this. Now they were in the church, there was an Antioch, certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, is another word called Simon. There was Paul, Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene. Niger here means black. So this Simon is not a fair Jew or not a fair person. He's a dark person. And I believe the Roman soldiers saw this man stand out from the whole crowd because of his skin color. And I believe he could be strong because he came from Africa. And Jesus would be trial for the whole night, whole day. He was weak. And they want to execute him quickly because Passover is at hand. So he called this man, Simon, to carry his cross. And as the outsider of Jerusalem, he came into the city. And now he needs to carry the cross of Jesus to the execution place, which is outside the city. So it was inconvenient for him, against his original intention. But he obliged, and he went. And I believe he, after being across to Calvary, he did not run away. I believe he witnessed the whole process when Jesus was there. Why did I say so? In Matthew, he did not tell us much about this man, Simon. But you turn to Mark chapter 15, verse 21. Mark gives us a little bit more information of this man. He said, and they compel one Simon a Cyrenian, who passes by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. So here confirmed for us, he was passing by the place, and he was ordered by Roman soldiers to carry the cross for our Lord Jesus Christ. And it was very interesting that he said he is the father of Alexander and Rufus. And normally in the Bible, we always hear the name, the son of, he's the son of so and so. But here, it's slightly different. He said, he is the father of Alexander and Rufus. And that is significant. If we turn to Acts chapter 11, verse 19 and 20, it will tell us the significance, the way Mark described of this man. Acts chapter 11. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, speaking unto Galatians, preaching the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. And who were these men? Acts 13:1. Now they were in the church, there was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, there was Paul, Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetras, and so on. So Acts chapter 13 tells us that this group of people from Cyrene include Simon the Niger and Apostle Paul. In his greeting before he signed off to Romans chapter 16:13, salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his manner and mind. Rufus was mentioned here. Who are this? The son of Simon of Cyrene. And so you can understand now why Mark described Simon Cyrene as the father of Alexander and Rufus. Simon was there by God's appointment. He was there. He did not intend to go there. He was not there to participate in the persecution of Jesus Christ. Mark told us he was just passing by. I believe he did not even know what was happening. But he passed by a place and was spotted by Roman soldiers. And Roman soldiers wanted him to carry the cross. That means that now he needs to turn 180 degrees and out of the city. To his inconvenience, he did so. And because of what he had done, God blessed him, and he came to believe, and God used him mightily, and he even bring the gospel to his family and start the gospel work. And Bible recorded for us that he went to Antioch to preach gospel, and his children were mentioned by Paul. Brethren, there are some from Simon of Cyrene. There has been a Simon of Cyrene. You and me are in this church in Calvary now,
It's not by accident.
Just like Simon, he might have not had intention to go to the hall where they tried Jesus Christ. He was just a passing by. But it's by God's appointment he was there. He was at the right place and right time. And he was waiting to be used. Even out of his inconvenience, he carried the cross for Jesus. And he was there to witness the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And he saw that there was his Savior. And he believed in him. And he was used by God to do his work. That was rich blessing. So Andrew in Cabotina, the same at the Simon of Cyrene, was it by accident you are here? We are a small church, but we are full functioning church. There are many things we can do, and we have many things we must do. God has called us here to be a witness, this church to be a witness for him in this vicinity. There are still many people outside his kingdom. They need the gospel. They need the word. So will he be willing to be like Simon of Cyrene? Will he be willing even out of their own covenant? Even deviate from their own plan to serve God in this church? To do his work as he has called you? Let us quieten our heart. Let the Holy Spirit to speak to our heart. Ask God, I am here. What you want me to do? Quieten our heart. Let the Holy Spirit direct us. Do not be the high priest, being blinded by their own agenda. Their heart was hardened. They cannot see what the work Jesus Christ had done. They could not hear what God has spoken to them because they hold on to their own agenda. They are not willing to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to them. Brethren, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and me in our heart. Let us come before God, humble before him, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and direct us the way ahead. Let us be the Simon of Cyrene. The last point I want to share with all us is also prophesied in the Bible. It's Matthew chapter 27, verse 38. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And as they passed by, reviled him, waging their haste and saying, Thou that destroy the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking him with the scribe and elders say, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Then the thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. So the thief did the same thing. The high priest and the elder was there mocking Jesus Christ, even as the last moment of the life of Jesus Christ. Matthew did not tell us too much about the two thieves, but Luke tell us a bit more. Let us turn to Luke chapter 23, verse 32. Luke chapter 23, verse 32. From here, we can have better insight of what happened to these two thieves. Verse 32, Luke recorded for us. He said, And there were also two others, malefactors, and led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. This was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 53. Jesus did not die alone. He was crucified with two transgressors, with two sinners. And Luke did not call them thieves. He described them malefactors. Malefactors. What does it mean? Malefactors mean a person who violated the law. It means that he's tried and proven they have committed crime. They committed crime. So you say these two were malefactors. And he said, explain further. Verse 39, Luke chapter 23. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." So normally we have sinned, we always accuse others. We don't look into ourselves. So there are two malefactors was crucified with Jesus together. Verse 40. But the others answered, rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? 41, verse 41. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. So there are two things there. One was mocking Jesus Christ. The other one told him, "You and me are justly punished. We have done." And we are crucified. It's according to what we have done. And we have been sentenced justly. So we must die. But this man, who is this man? Jesus Christ. But this man had done nothing amiss. Even the thief knew Jesus Christ was just. So can you see the love of God? Even at this last moment, God using this thief to tell the people looking at Jesus on the cross, Jesus Christ was the just man, was the just man. So we can see the high priest and elders was blinded by their own greed. Their heart was hardened. They cannot hear anything in the ear anymore. And this thief said, "This man, nothing amiss." And he turned to Jesus and asked Jesus, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And this was the reply of Jesus. And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto you, today shall thou be with me in paradise." What can we learn from here? Brethren, these two thieves was being crucified. So from the conversation, we know they were great sinners. They received the just punishment they should receive. But the other thief cried unto Jesus Christ, "Remember me. Remember me when thou come into kingdom." So he confessed his sin. Because he said, we indeed justice, but we receive the due reward of our deeds. He knew he was sinner.
Now he asked Jesus, remember him, save me.
When you enter into heaven, because he knew Jesus was just. What was the response of Jesus Christ? He said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now, when you die, when you give out your ghost, you will be with me in paradise. Thank God for this event. Tell us that even before we finish our last breath, if we are ready to proclaim Jesus to be our Savior, repent of sin, we will be with him in the paradise. So we can see the love of God. He wants us to repent of sin and accept Jesus as a Savior. And all those things we need to do, Jesus Christ has done for us. What we need to do is accept Jesus Christ be our Savior. So for those who have parents, loved ones, still have not believed in him, let us not lose hope. Let us continue to be firm in praying for them, sharing the gospel with them. Even on their last breath, as long as they say, Lord Jesus, be my Savior, our Lord will save him. So let us continue to pray so, to pray and bring the gospel to our Lord. And on the other hand, there are many people say, I want to enjoy the world. Since our God promised us, on my last breath, as long as I repent of my sin, I call Jesus to be my Savior, I can be saved. If you have this thought, let us reconsider. There are many people in this world don't even know they have died. And there are so many accidents, and snap a person's life with a split second. So do not think that we have a chance to say this prayer. So the key is, when you hear the gospel, when you hear this message, examine ourselves. The evidence is so plentiful. Jesus Christ is our Lord. The world will be perished. Every man in this world, since the day of creation, will need to come before Jesus Christ and face the judgment. The word is true. Jesus said, those names have not been written on the book of life. Those have not repented of their sin and believed Jesus Christ as Savior. And your name will not be on the book of life and will be sentenced to eternal hell. So let us not to take this thing lightly. All the prophecy have been fulfilled. And the second return of Jesus will be fulfilled too. And all in written on the book will be fulfilled. So all us will definitely come before the judgment of God. So have you repented of your sin? Have you believed in Jesus Christ? Do not wait. This is a time for us to come to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, as we are going to remember the Good Fridays, and we study the Word of God, recall for us things that happened before Jesus gave his life, before he left the last breath, telling us very clearly
God words is true. Read His word, understand His word, live out His word. Only His word, His truth can set us free. Even we are facing the COVID-19, indeed, many of us, many government really don't know what to do. They are trying their best, but we don't know when this can be come under control. But if we know the word of God, you know the plan of God, we have peace in our heart. Because God promised us, He will care for us. He loves us. So this is a wake-up call to everyone. To those who have not known Jesus Christ, have not accepted Jesus Christ, to those who have believed in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me repeat again, for those who have not believed Jesus Christ to be a Savior, please consider again. No matter how advanced our technologies, we really not able to control this tiny virus. It's creating a lot of havoc in this world, and more to come. And these are prophesied in God's word. God again will show us. His word is true. So believe in Him, repent of our sin, ask Jesus to be our Savior. For us who believe in Lord Jesus Christ, we thank God for giving us the wisdom to know our sin. Give us a humble heart to accept Jesus Christ to be a Savior. But please be reminded, from the things happening in this world, thank us His return is imminent. The number of days we can serve Him is number. Let us learn from the Simon of Cyrene. Even our inconvenience, not according to our own plan, God has called us to serve Him. Let us serve Him faithfully. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. How Thy word has shown us Thou art our God, and Thou art faithful God, and Thou, Thy word is true. And Thou hast shown us that all Thy word has spoken and come in reality. Lord, help us not to harden our own heart, humble ourselves, to see the truth, and to believe in Thee. Father, I pray for those still outside Thy kingdom, speak to them. Open their spiritual eyes to see that they need Thee, and humble their heart, repent of their sin, to receive Thee as their personal Savior. Father, for us, have we so preached, and Thou will call us, and we will respond to Thy call. And now we are Thy children, and help us to realize our Lord Jesus Christ will return very quickly, and help us to treasure every day, every hour, every second that Thou has given to us. Even if it's not according to our own plan, but help us to serve Thee, to live our life for Thee, and help us to follow Thee. Lord, bless every one of us. We pray all this with thanksgiving in our Lord Jesus Christ, most holy name. Amen.